Hi, you're listening to The Self Sessions with me, Marissa McCallum. I'm a body and mindset coach, social entrepreneur, and writer. I help you discover what you want, decide how to go for it, and feel like you deserve it. In this space, we will explore all things life and what it means to be human. Sometimes it'll just be me, sometimes not. Perhaps I'll bring along some friends or a fantastic guest to open up the conversation. But in all cases, each episode will be delivered with one single intention and my mantra for life, wishing only love. Let's get started. Welcome to part two of Is There Something on My Face? In part one, I spoke about how for most of 2023, I experienced illness, which had symptoms including skin inflammation, chronic fatigue, and brain fog. I shared some of the things I explored to get well, traditional medical approaches, nutrition, homeopathic medicine, movement. And I'm going to continue the list of things I tried and their effects in this episode. So if you haven't already, and for better context, you might want to head back to part one and listen to that first. If you have listened to part one, 10 brownie points to you, and let's continue. The energy piece. In terms of Eastern medicine, I'd had a few acupuncture sessions before, which have been positive experiences. However, Reiki had been completely off my radar until I was bought a session as a birthday gift a few years ago. I had found the experience relaxing and energizing and then completely forgotten about it again until 2023. I discovered a wonderful practitioner who offered remote sessions, which was ideal for me as I was in the depths of being a hermit and literally didn't have the energy or confidence to travel outside of my home. Reiki, according to Reiki.org, is a Japanese technique for stress reduction and relaxation that also promotes healing. It's administered by laying on hands and is based on the idea that an unseen life force energy flows through us and is what causes us to be alive. If one's life force energy is low, then we are more likely to get sick or feel stress. And if it's high, we're more capable of being happy and healthy. Some could dismiss Reiki as a bit woo-woo, but there is scientific and anecdotal evidence to back up the benefits of it. It is currently recognised as a complementary therapy by the NHS, and there are links to quantum physics, and the study I've done in other areas such as polyvagal theory, which is to do with vagus nerve and nervous system health, support why the practice is understood to be positive in terms of healing. I've recorded an episode called Reiki Realness, dedicated to the subject with my Reiki master, Gwen Allison, and that'll be released very soon. During the session, I was invited to set up my space in a way that felt relaxing. I used candles and music, and then I lay on my bed whilst the session took place. I fell asleep, and shortly after waking, had a text from the practitioner describing what she had experienced. Intuitive sensations, messages from my body, and places where she'd found the energy blocked, and which in Eastern medicine corresponded with the things I'd been going through in my life. For example, she referenced activity around my solar plexus, which is the area kind of located just below the breastbone and above the belly button, which in Eastern medicine can be associated with stress, fear, anger, and digestive issues. It was actually quite amazing how insightful it all was, and I began to feel better in terms of my energy levels a few days later. Something about my experience of Reiki kept calling me back to it. I was curious to learn more, and I felt compelled to practice it on myself. I really liked the idea of accessing something that was available to all of us and supported the concept of us all having the ability to heal ourselves. So when I was feeling a bit better, I attended a two-day training and completed Reiki Level 1, which meant I'm now able to practice on myself, friends and family. I've been performing self-Reiki every day since, and my energy levels improved and I felt more connected to my body and everything around me. My skin even became clearer than it had done in months. Whilst I was attuning to Reiki, I had a few things happen that felt like they signified the deepening of my connection with this amazing universe that we're whizzing through, and I suppose the energy of the planet. Bear with me. Stay with me here. The first night of the attunement, I stood in my kitchen cooking dinner when a glass of water that was on one of the counters shattered without any reason whatsoever. Just shattered. Water everywhere, shattered glass. And then that same night, I had a bath. I ran a bath, and after applying Reiki to the water and getting in, a candle that was burning in the corner just began sparking like a firework. It was crazy. Needless to say, I was a little bit shook, but also there was something quite reassuring about it, something to do with being in alignment and maybe accessing a power that is readily available if I just allow myself to connect to it. I really love that idea. After the attunement, I also had a series of synchronistic and downright weird events take place, but I think I might save those for another day. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Even if you're not a believer of the energetic side of things, the Reiki principles feel really practical, and saying them out loud has become part of my morning routine too. They begin with just for today, which immediately takes the pressure off. You're not committing to long-term expectations. You're just setting an intention for the next 24 hours. And then they cover things like gratitude and being kind. Simple, beautiful intentions. And I found it a really supportive way to start the day. Reiki was an invitation to actively calm my nervous system, and that the laying of hands on myself became a ritual of care that I've practiced every day since my attunement. It's me affirming that I'm worth my attention and my time, and that I'm capable of and allowed to tend to my needs first. Doing Reiki definitely supported the improvement of my health, but for me, this journey has been about understanding that true, deep healing requires a holistic approach. A theme that kept coming up throughout my period of recovery was the nervous system. The biology of healing, our body's innate ability and desire to heal. Working in collaboration with our body and creating conditions to support it. And sometimes we just need to get out of the way of the process and let it happen. Previously, my study in somatic coaching led me to understand the wisdom of the body and ways to connect with it. I discovered practitioners such as Peter Levine, Gabor Mate, and I've been following the work of Irene Lyon for years. Now I was being invited to fully immerse myself in it and really put it to the test and embody it. Going back to synchronicity, it was really weird. I would often find myself reading the exact book that related to my situation, or hearing a podcast that provided the reassurance I needed, or seeing a video that would lead me to the next thread I needed to follow to deepen my learning and support my healing. I'll reference what I can in the notes, but for now it feels particularly relevant to mention the books When the Body Says No by Gabor Mate, The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk, and Waking the Tiger by Peter Levine. A word of warning here, some of these books contain some horrific case studies around experiences of trauma and abuse, so if you're sensitive to that sort of content, you might want to check out these people on podcasts instead, or maybe seek out some of their videos or interviews where the examples aren't as graphic. Irene Lyon is a nervous system expert, and she's done a really great job of distilling the lessons of these books down into videos and short ebooks. She has loads of free resources on her website, which again I'll link in the notes. Her voice became one of the soundtracks of my healing, especially when it came to focusing on my nervous system and the relationship of old trauma to what I was experiencing in my body now. I revisited techniques I'd learned as a somatic coach, this time with a beginner's mind. There was a focus more on my experience, and after finding lots of value in her free resources, I also opted to invest in one of her 21-day programs for a really dedicated period of focus and to reset, basically. What I learned on that program supported all of the approaches to health that I've mentioned before. The idea was that having a healthy nervous system was basically creating the foundations for all of the things that I've been doing before to really work. I recognise that I've been living in survival mode for years, and the stress that I've placed on my body had been ramped up by a breakup, grief, finding a new home, and financial pressures. I might dedicate a future episode specifically to the nervous system so that I can go into more detail, but for now, I will share that the biological implications of my body being under a sustained period of stress meant that I was living on adrenaline and cortisol to push through day-to-day life. Stress causes blood to be directed away from the prefrontal cortex, which is a part of the brain responsible for decision-making, and so I had reduced brain functionality. I've been living in a state of hypervigilance, which is where you're constantly scanning your surroundings for threats and potentially perceiving things as dangerous that aren't, which can cause anxiety. And living in a state of hypervigilance is an exhausting place to be, especially when you're not aware that you're doing it. Also, as I mentioned in part one, jumping out of a plane for the parachute jump perhaps drained the last of my body's resources and quite possibly was the catalyst for it to say enough was enough, to intervene on my behalf and to shut Marissa down. Irene's approach is education around how the nervous system works. She speaks about the link between adverse childhood experiences and nervous system dysregulation. The word trauma has become more prominent in day-to-day conversations, and I feel like there is a lot of misunderstanding about what it means and what constitutes as trauma. The UK Trauma Council defines trauma as a distressing event or events that are so extreme or intense that they overwhelm a person's ability to cope, resulting in lasting negative impact. What is traumatic for one person may not be for another. Two people could experience the same event, and depending on their upbringing, life events, personality, perception of the world, and how they're able to process the event will respond to it very, very differently. During my time on the planet, I've experienced quite a few things that were traumatizing. It's not a competition, so I'm not going to go in and sort of list them all, but to give you a rough idea, they've included things like intrusive medical procedures as a child, emotional physical abuse, and witnessing death. All things that were highly distressing when they took place and that I was unable to process properly due to my age or the circumstances at the time. They were all experiences and emotions which remained unprocessed in my body, which in turn influenced my health and my behaviours in the world. This is where the magic of neuroplasticity comes in. In her ebook, Five Stages of Neuroplastic Healing, Irene Lyon describes neuroplasticity as the capacity of your body, brain, and nervous system to change, grow, and heal. There was hope and a possibility to break cycles and patterns that were getting in the way of my wellness and living a life where I was thriving in all of the ways. Through nervous system work, I was able to begin undoing the negative impact of historical trauma and support its release. A fundamental piece of the work was about slowing down. I've been practicing mindfulness for years as part of my meditation approach, but I had to return to it with a beginner's mindset, being truly present and paying attention to more moments throughout my day. It also meant actively paying deeper attention to my body's responses on a moment-by-moment basis. Sounds simple, but it was really challenging. I became aware of how often throughout my day I had been unconsciously communicating with my body and causing it to react with a state of stress. I'll give an example. When I was stood in the kitchen at the sink washing the dishes, I realised I was tensing my abdomen, holding the muscles in as if I was preparing to take a blow to the stomach. When I became aware of this, I also noticed that I would do it at the hob when I was cooking, for no obvious reason. It got me thinking, how long had I been doing that for without realising? How often throughout the day had I been unconsciously telling my body to brace for impact? I wondered how much energy I'd been wasting by bracing in preparation for imaginary conflict, incorrectly telling my body that I needed to be on high alert. That was just one thing I noticed. I'm not even going to get started on my neck and my shoulders. I began to notice more and more things, subtle things that I'd been doing on a daily basis that had communicated to my body that I wasn't safe, that I needed to be vigilant and that to honour its needs was an inconvenience because I was too busy surviving. So it became a case of unravelling all of that. The unhealthy learned behaviours of suppression, you know, like holding in sneezes and gas and tears. It meant becoming open to the internal messages my body was sending that sometimes were so subtle I would have missed or, let's be honest, completely ignored before. Things like needing to rest, not just because I was ill or physically couldn't move, but for the sake of rest that was rejuvenating instead of a response to a collapse. Despite having a regular bedtime, my sleep was often broken and not restorative. I would wake up only to feel exhausted shortly after getting up. During the night, my body wasn't settling into the rest and digest mode it needed to, the state where internal repairs take place. especially in the early stages of my recovery, I needed to rest more often. Periods of time where I was just doing nothing other than laying down, staring at the sky, or taking a nap, whatever my body was telling me it needed. This was easier said than done. Hustle culture has a lot to answer for. That hard graft mentality, you should be working, you're being lazy, that I and many of my peers were raised with is really, really prominent. The expectation of constantly pushing, forcing and striving, constantly being the key word, it's insidious. And a pattern that I saw repeated by clients during my work as a body and mindset coach and in myself. Toxic productivity and hashtag hustle is outdated and unsustainable. There, I said it. I'm going to say that flow is the way forward. Yeah, flow is the way forward. So I was resting more, napping, watching films and programs that made me laugh to get all the feel-good hormones like serotonin flowing. I was really conscious of what I was consuming, not just food, but energetically. So that meant no social media. It meant listening to uplifting and inspiring music, podcasts, reading inspiring books. So shout out to Michelle Obama for The Light We Carry. Your voice is very reassuring. Did that on audiobook. Very nice. Basically, at that stage, I was hypersensitive and I just needed to absorb only things that were nourishing and keep my vibration high. I learned origami and I rediscovered crocheting. I'm not going to be opening an online store, but I now have a few items of clothing that I'm pretty proud of, made out of wool, not paper. I'll give a shout out to AC Crochets. Thank you for your no-nonsense crocheting YouTube tutorials. I appreciate you. I found crafts that involved using my hands really good for staying in the present moment. You need to pay attention or you may have to unravel hours of work just to fix a single missed stitch. Again, I noticed there would be times when I was doing these things that I would be bracing my stomach or holding my breath, even during what was supposed to be a chilled activity. And so it was another opportunity to pay attention to my body and release the tension. An opportunity to pay attention to my body and my environment. An opportunity to pay attention to my body and my breath, moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour. One of the themes that kept coming up for me was a return to nature, back to the basics of being a being, an organism that needs certain things to function, things like sunlight. When I was unable to leave my flat, I was lucky enough to have access to a balcony with views of nature that I could just soak up, and I feel so grateful for that. It's about paying attention to hydration and nutrition, honouring cycles of seasons, you know, awake during the day, asleep at night, knowing that there's a time for activity and a time for rest, a natural flow that we can all get in alignment with. I had been living in a state of intensity for so long that it had become normal for me. And deep down, what I really craved was peace. And that's what I was cultivating now for myself. As much peace as possible for my nervous system to calm, settle and reset. Sat in a quiet room or tranquil area of nature alone, it can be easier to find yourself in a state of calm. But as a human, out in the world of people and potentially stressful situations, not so much. And so another part of the nervous system work was preparing myself to re-enter society. Irene Lyon refers to it as building capacity to handle stress, to regulate the nervous system, and to navigate and process stress instead of staying in one state for too long. This involved an approach called titration. In this context, it means the slow addition of something. So I was going to place myself in low-level stress situations, paying attention to my body and rooting myself in the current moment so I could get used to it. Sometimes anxiousness can be the result of recalling old traumatic memories and applying them to future events, anticipating the same emotional responses. And this can confuse the brain into thinking that the same thing is happening again in the current moment. So I experimented gradually. I would have a phone call or a video call with someone, maybe go for a walk in the park if I was feeling particularly brave, when my face started to clear a bit more, travel on public transport. Titration can also be done through exercise. So that's having a period of activity where the heart rate is elevated and then naturally decreases. All the time paying attention to what's happening in your body so that you can track it. Sometimes I would push myself or another life event would come at me to elevate the stress and I would have another flare up. But the peaceful times were becoming more often and the level of flare up was getting lower. Something that I found reassuring was when Irene shared that sometimes when we do nervous system work, our symptoms can appear to get worse before they get better. When I had an even bigger flare up towards the end of 2023, I had to keep reminding myself of this, remembering that years of stored trauma, emotion and stress finally had the opportunity to be released and there was a lot to clear. The skin is our largest organ and my body was using it to detox what had been trapped in my system for decades. I had to be patient with my body and gentle with myself. Paying attention to my nervous system responses and needs supported all of the other systems in my body. They're all interlinked and communicate with each other. I noticed improvements in my digestion. Before the calming of my system, it's pretty likely that my digestive system was inflamed and that was preventing it from absorbing all of the nutrients efficiently, and that I had leaky gut, which meant toxins escaping through the intestinal walls, which then needed to be detoxed apparently through my face. Now, the decrease in stress chemicals meant a reduction in inflammation, which in turn would enable my body to finally absorb and benefit from all the nutritious food I was eating. Yes! As I slowed down, cared for myself, relearned how to regulate my nervous system and follow healthy impulses, I began to notice subtle changes in my body. I felt calmer more often. The quality of my sleep improved. I had more energy and my skin was beginning to clear. Hurrah! But there was still more to be done. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Self Sessions. If you did, please share, like, subscribe, and stay in touch by heading over to marissamccallum.com. I am, of course, until next time, wishing only love.